Thank all of you for being here this morning, and I know that all of you are looking forward to Thursday, as we commonly refer to it as Turkey Day or Thanksgiving Day. It's always a wonderful time for families to be able to gather together once again, and no doubt people will be coming in from various places to be at your home. And I hope you're prepared for that. But anyway, it's always a great time, and it certainly is a wonderful time for us to reflect upon the great and wonderful blessings of God. You know, God is so good. David mentioned a moment ago prior to the song, but He is good. He is good to all of us, and we ought to be thankful that this year that we are privileged to be able to witness another Thanksgiving. Too often times in life, people are not appreciative, but we should never let the things that we want make us forget the things that we have. You know, all of us could truthfully and honestly say today that we are blessed of our Maker. If I were to ask you this morning, what are you thankful for? How would you respond to that? You know, I'm quite sure that if we started over here and we went all the way around this auditorium, that people would list perhaps maybe a number of things that others do not list. Because in our own way, we're truly grateful and thankful for so many, many things. We need to keep in mind that someone else is happy with a lot less than what we have. We often bemoan our fate. We often say, well, I'm not as blessed as someone else. But you know what? We ought to be thankful every day for what we have. You know, when you look at the third world countries and you see these young children that are famished and you see people who are living in poverty, it makes us grateful that we live in this great land of opportunity. No wonder that people from El Salvador and Guatemala are coming into this country or wanting to come into our land. But I've said many, many times, it's a wonderful thing that they have that desire, but they need to come legally. It is true. And I would remind you, as someone has said, that even heaven itself has a wall. And God has an immigration policy, but hell has open doors. So for all those people who believe that we just ought to open the doors and make it wide for anyone that wants to come in, criminal or non-criminal, you need to back up and rethink that, folks. The Bible in the book of Philippians 4:6 says, "In everything, by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, with all of our blessings, sometimes we say, I'm just embarrassed to ask God for anything else. But that really is unwarranted, because God says that even when we consider ourselves to be immensely blessed of God, that if we go to God with thanksgiving and we do it in a supplication way, then it is approved of our Maker. One of the first passages of Scripture that I ever learned as a child in Bible class was taken from the book of Psalms 100 and verse 4. When the Bible says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, give thanks unto Him and bless His name." Do you realize that every day should be a day of thanksgiving unto God? And every time we enter through the doors of this edifice, we should always enter with thanksgiving in our hearts. We should be grateful, as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 18. Be grateful, notice what he says, not for all things, but in all things. That means whatever situation you find yourself today, realize that God is blessing you, whether you realize that you're being blessed or not. He says, be grateful in all things. In everything, give thanks. You know, it's one of the lessons that we teach our children early in life, isn't it? We teach them to say thanks. And you know what? That's important, isn't it? Isn't it important for us to simply say thank you? We should say it to one another, but we should say it to God as well. Thank you. And if you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much money you may have. You're not. But in reality, if you're grateful, you are rich, no matter how little you have. The real difference between those aware of the love of the Father and those that are unaware is expect nothing and appreciate everything. Now, this is the time of year when kids all get excited about Christmas coming, and they start counting down the days. And, you know, we give our kids so much today, isn't it? Don't you think? Sometimes I think we give them too much. And none of the kids would say amen to that this morning, but I'm telling you, it is true. And we go to Walmart, or we go to Amazon, and we order it online, or whatever they want, we get it. Grandparents are real good about that. They are. And you know what? Sometimes kids are so ungrateful. They go through this process of opening up all of these packages, and then they turn and look at you with glazed eyes and say, "Is that all there is?" You know, we may not do that in the face of God, but in principle, we do. Because when we do not thank God, and when we do not show God our appreciation for all of His bounties and His favor, then I can tell you, we become ingrates. The person aware of God's love is thankful, and the byproduct of all of that is joy. Have you ever noticed that when people have a thankful heart that they're joyful, they're happy? But when people do not have a thankful heart, they're sour, their disposition is not what it ought to be, they're unhappy in life, and they want to make everybody unhappy around them, maybe because they do not have what they think is coming unto them. We are not joyful and then become grateful, but it's the other way around. For Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are grateful, and that makes us joyful. You don't experience joy in your life and you say, "Well, because I'm happy, I'm going to thank God." But you thank God, and then you become a joyful person. Now, there are three things that I want to share with you this morning that I really believe that we can do to maintain a thankful heart. And by the way, I want to tell you already what I'm going to be talking about tonight. At 6 o'clock, I'm going to talk about why we ought to be grateful. There are several things that Jesus does for us every day that you may not even think about. I hope you'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. This is an important lesson. It's one I've spent a lot of time in dealing with and research, and I hope that you'll be here. Things that Jesus does for us every day that we may not even consider. But number one, acknowledge that God is the source of all the good things of your life. The clothes you have on your body this morning, the food that you anticipate as you leave this building today, the automobile that you drive in, the house to which you will resort when you follow others out of this building today, is all because of a loving God. He is the one who has blessed us. He has given us this edifice, this great building, to be able to come together and worship Him. He honors us. If you have good health this morning, you are blessed of God. If you are mentally capable of discerning what I'm sharing with you this morning, you are indeed blessed of God. There are so many things, and we ought to recognize that God is the source. Sometimes people chalk it up to happenstance. People chalk it up to things kind of like they do the lottery. You know, you pull out a winning ticket and it just happened. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All of your blessings came from God, well planned by our Maker who is in heaven. It didn't just happen. You didn't just get that job that you wanted. You didn't just get that raise. You didn't just get that position that you wanted. It happened because behind the scenes there is a God who is greater than we are, who is working. If you have overcome your illness, it is because there is a Father who is in heaven, who is looking down upon you, who is healing and blessing your body. And we need to stop focusing on how stressed we are and remember how blessed we are every day. I know the holidays are stressful times, but you know what? They're blessful times as well. God said in the book of Psalms 84 and verse 11, "No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly." Now, maybe this morning you feel like you're not being blessed. Maybe you're not walking uprightly. Maybe in your mind you think you are, but if you're not being blessed like you think you ought to be, maybe it would be wise for you to go back and say, "Well, now I need to really examine my life one more time." To find out, you know, the Bible encourages us to take self-inventory, doesn't it? Paul says, "Take heed unto yourselves." And he also says that we are to examine ourselves, not only when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but we are to examine ourselves, he said, to the early church, and prove our faith. "No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly." I like the words of Psalm 37:23. That word established, that's an interesting word. And David says, "He will establish us. He will make us firm. He will give us a place to stand. And He will be with us." Psalms 16 and verse 2, David said, "You are my Lord, and my goodness is nothing apart from you." So when you think that you have pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps, or you think that you are where you are because of your mentality, or because of who you are, or because of how much money you have, you need to back up and realize something that Moses told ancient Israel many years ago. It is this, that God has given you the power to attain wealth. That's why David said in Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Those are not just words. I've told you before, you want to be blessed of God, you bless God. How do you bless God? Sometimes people bless God out, just like they bless one another out. But you know what? We need to bless the Lord. We bless the Lord in so many ways. We bless the Lord by giving to Him. We bless the Lord by worshiping Him. We bless the Lord by living the right kind of life and being the kind of people that we ought to be. That blesses God, and that is precisely what David is saying here. You want to receive the blessings of God? Well, God expects a little reciprocation. And that's why David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." When we begin to think that perhaps these blessings come to us because we work hard, sometimes we manufacture all these things in our mind. Well, do you happen to be at the right place at the right time, or are you just a real aggressive worker, you're an entrepreneur, and all of those wonderful things? We need to remember James 1 and verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from who? Us? No. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation and no shadow of turning. We can thank God today for a lot of things when we think about all these blessings that we have. Not just the spiritual blessings, and those are tremendous, aren't they? No, God forgives our sin and provides for us the hope of heaven someday, the wonderful church of which we're privileged to be a part. But we can thank God for the material blessings. Sometimes I think little kids have a greater handle on life than we do. They're so specific when they pray, aren't they? Have you ever heard them pray? Thank God for the beans. I mean, at the dinner table, if you let a kid pray, is thank God for the beans and thank you for the potatoes and the meat and the rolls and whatever it happens to be. In anticipation, I always thank Him for the chocolate pie that is yet to come. But we all do that. And sometimes we want to shut them up. I'll never forget, we had a young man one time, and we were allowing them to participate in our service on that Wednesday night or Tuesday night this week prior to Thanksgiving. And he was standing there, and I had asked him to pray, and he was about 5 years old. And he started elaborating on everything of the world. I mean, that kid was praying for everything. I thought, well, this is going to be one of those loquacious prayers. And it went on and on and on. And I finally kind of bent down and whispered in his ear. I said, and say amen. And he looked up at me and he said, I ain't through yet. Now, you know, sometimes we get through. We get through when we should be praying to God. We should. Thank him for the material blessings, for the physical blessings, that you have the presence of body and mind that enables you to be here this morning, and for the relational blessings. You and I have a relationship that is wonderful. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful blessing of God? It is to me. Every good thing is a gift from God, but secondly, acknowledge the many blessings. Not only acknowledge that they come from a divine creator in heaven, but acknowledge how many you have. The Lord has given to you. We sing that song sometimes. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. And he has. You know, every day, and I don't know if you really do this or not, I always suggest it, but I think it's a great thing for people to really write down your blessings. You know, you'll remember more if you write them down. We tell kids that all the time. That's why they give tests in school. You know what? It's not to flunk a kid. Most kids think the teachers give tests so they can flunk them. That's not why. They give them tests to help them remember it. Now, if we would every morning to get up and just start thinking about how blessed we are and write those blessings down, they would mean more to you, and you would come. And if you ever get the feeling that maybe you're not as blessed, it would be good to go pick that list up and look at it again. And chances are, if you had that list, if you really got to thinking, you could probably add a few more things to it every time you looked at it. Our focus cannot be upon what we don't have or who has it better than we do, or someone else. Our focus must be on all the things that we do have in our lives. For every good thing in our life is from God. It is. There is a harvest of blessings. You know, when I read the book of Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says that God has a law of sowing and reaping. And think about this a minute. He says that for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've heard people explain that passage away and say, well, you know, that means in heaven we're going to reap heaven. Or we're going to reap life eternal. No, I'll tell you what. I really believe that God is talking about in this life we will reap. You remember when Jesus said, how many of you have whatever you have in life and you're willing to give it up and come and follow me, you will have much, much more. Given, it should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, overflowing, Luke 9 says, that men shall give into your bosom. There is a harvest of blessings, and we need to cherish each day and the blessings that God has given to us. Even the beautiful sunset or the beautiful sunrise. Sometimes our faith really is tested. When we feel like maybe we didn't get well, our illness is terminal, or that maybe my marriage didn't work out, or maybe I lost my job, or a lot of other things. It tests our faith, doesn't it? But our faith must be strong enough to overcome. And the reason it tests our faith is the fact that many forget their blessings. Do you know God says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? He says, but my people have forgotten me, listen to this, day without number. You know what the blessings of God are? Favor. Favor. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the church had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Sometimes we're so critical of one another, instead of treating people with favor. Favor. That's the way God treats us every day, isn't it? He does, with favor. The Bible says even of Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 2 that he grew in stature, now listen to this, and in favor with man and God. The favor, you know what, I want the favor of God upon me every day. I do. I want his favor. When you feel trapped in your problems, remember that you do not have to face them alone, but that you can come to God and he will bring you through those problems. If he brings you to it, he will bring you through it. He does. Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. No matter how heavy that burden may be. And you have a choice. You can either focus on what's tearing you apart or what is holding you together. Many times in our lives, what we do is we focus on what tears us apart instead of what holds us together. And that is our God. Anyone's life can be a tale of tragedy. Can be. Doesn't have to be, because it can be a trail of victory as well. But then thirdly, and last of all, we should anticipate the better days that lie ahead. Now, I know for some of us, it's hard for us to envision that the better days are yet to come. But stop and think about right now. In our country, 3 or 4 years ago, we didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we didn't think better days were coming. But folks, better days have come. They've already come. There is a return back to God in this country, and I thank God for it. There is a return in a lot of ways to mores of society that we once knew and to the morality that ought to exist in our country. And there are better days financially right now than there ever have been in the United States of America. More people are employed right now, think about this, than in the history of our nation. You think better days hadn't come? They have come. And we just need to start working at making America godly again. I had a friend that just recently went on a cruise, and he brought me a cap back that's one of those Trump caps. You know, it says, make America great again. This one said, make America godly again. He's delusional if he thinks I'm going to put a cap on my head. What you see is what you get. Anticipate the better days that are ahead. Always remember that the better days are coming, if they're not already here. If not in this life, they will come in the life that is to come. Our hope serves as an anchor of the soul. I like those words of Hebrews 6 and verse 19. And you know what? Sometimes when things are falling apart, they may actually be falling in place. You ever seen that happen sometimes where it looked like, boy, it was just all collapsing around you and it was all falling apart, when in reality it was just all falling in place? And we could see the working of God afterward in retrospect. Never let success get to your head, and never let failure get to your heart. Anticipate better days. Psalms 23 and 6 says, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Listen to it. He's talking about this life. He's not talking about heaven. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord my God forever. Psalms 48 and verse 14. For this is God, our God, forever and forever, and he will be our guide even to death. Psalms 85:12. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase, and it's doing it right now. And all the critics are saying it isn't happening. I don't understand that kind of mentality, do you? I don't. There are many doors that have been opened to us in our life. Opportunities are often presented to you and to me by a worldly society. It's out there. But many times we walk through them. And the greatest door that has ever been opened to you and to me is the door that the Bible calls Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And we walk through that door to become His child. And someday we'll walk through the gates of heaven and meet Him with open arms. And we will truly be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Jesus opened the door to salvation, and I walked through it many years ago, and I've never regretted it. Never, ever have I regretted it. And you know, that door is still open today to all of us. Every good thing is a gift from Him. Every blessing is a gift from Him. Every hope for the future is a gift from our God. There are promises that are made, all right, by God, but they're made to the Christian. So that's why it's so important for us to be in Christ. We have to be in Him to receive these blessings. It's kind of like you having a will. You have a will, but you have stipulations in your will that says that those heirs must meet the stipulations of your will in order for them to inherit the blessings. And God says, I have a will. It's called the New Testament. And we must meet the stipulations that are in the will in order for us to become the recipients of the promises. The promises are not made to everybody, but they're made to the children of God. And that's why we must be in Christ. And the question this morning that I ask you as you reflect upon your blessings, are you in Christ? Maybe you'd be blessed much, much more if you were in Christ. For in Christ you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. In Christ I am accepted by the Beloved and I belong. In Christ I am secure. I am in my relationship with Him. In Christ I am significant. I am. God loves me and Jesus wants me to obey Him. To love the Word of God is to obey Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience. You see, we've been talking about all the gifts of God. But you know what? I told you a moment ago that David said in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord with all that is in me. You know what? The way we bless God, too, hey, is obeying it. And our obedience is our blessing to God. It's our gift to God. Our gratitude is seen when we obey. It is true. In prosperity, God tests our gratitude. In poverty, He tests our contentment. In darkness, our faith. And at all times, obedience. That's the test of our faith. Life eternal is not a fantasy. You know, a lot of people believe that heaven and hell are fantasies. Not so. You know, I was looking in Wikipedia the other day, and everybody praises Wikipedia of having all the answers, you know. I was looking in Wikipedia about Adam and Eve, and Wikipedia says that many religious people believe that Adam and Eve were the first man and the woman, and they knew that that was nonsense, that that never really ever happened. So when you talk about, and you praise Wikipedia for all of their knowledge and their wisdom, you need to back up and understand, hey, they're foolish, foolish. Life eternal is not a fantasy, nor is eternal hell. We're talking about realism. Jesus is talking about real things. And if we're not ready to be lifted up, hey, we're not ready to go under with Christ. We're not ready to be baptized if we don't want to be lifted up by the precious blood. And you know what? Heaven and hell are decisions that each of us make in life. You can either you'll choose to go to heaven. Not people say, "Well, I'm not going to choose to go to hell." Yes, you will. If you don't choose heaven, you choose hell. That's the bottom line, isn't it? It is. That's why Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. You and I have a spiritual DNA. You know, we hear a lot about DNA today. You do. And you know what everybody says? Well, you know, we all have a different DNA. That may be true in a physical sense, but it's not true in a spiritual sense. We all have the same DNA spiritually. We are children of God, and we bear the image of our Lord. But what is your spiritual DNA this morning? David said, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Psalms 118 and verse 14. Why not let him become yours this morning, your strength and your song, by being baptized for the remission of your sins? It's a choice that we all make. It's like the choice of being grateful or being ungrateful. I hope you're grateful enough this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you're grateful enough to God to make a decision that commits your life to him from now on. And if you're a child of God and maybe things have gotten the way somewhere along the way, maybe you got off the straight and the narrow and you got on the Broadway like the rest of the world, thinking that you are what you are because of what you've done instead of because of what he's done, why not come back and acknowledge that to God and receive the forgiveness as you rededicate your life to him, as we stand and as we sing.